You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Friday, September 14th, 2018, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. You can subscribe to this show on iTunes or Spotify to have it delivered to your device each day when we post it, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Week 2 of the NFL season kicked off last night as the Baltimore Ravens visited the Cincinnati Bengals. And this Sunday, we have the home opener for the Jets, Sam Darnold's first home game in the green and white as the Jets take on the Miami Dolphins in an AFC East battle. And, I mean, no Week 2 game is really that important, but as far as Week 2 games go, it is relatively important since it's a divisional game against another team that's 1-0. So the winner of this game will have a small leg up in the division and in the AFC. You know, you'd rather be 2-0 with a head-to-head win than 1-1 with a head-to-head loss. Obviously, it's not whatever team wins will not take an insurmountable lead in the division. And of course, there's that team from New England, which will have something to say about who takes the crown this year. But it's still a game you'd like to see your team win. A 2-0 start's a heck of a way to go in the NFL. You know, you've got quite a head start on the rest of the league if you win your first two games. So Jets would like to get off on a good start, and then they'll head into a short week with a road game at Cleveland. And due to a really quirky early season schedule of the first 3 weeks in the season, this is the only Sunday afternoon where you'll be able to watch the Jets. During those first 3 weeks, that's kind of crazy. That of the first 3 weeks, only once will you be able to watch the Jets in the traditional Sunday afternoon time frame. So I guess enjoy it this week, and then we'll get back to a more regular schedule week 4 and beyond. Today, of course, we will preview the game between the Jets and the Dolphins, and we'll give you one key player, one key matchup, and one key to victory on both sides of the ball. So let's begin on the offensive side of the ball. And my key player is going to be Brandon Schell. And I'm going with Brandon Schell for a couple reasons. First of all, in my opinion, he was the best offensive lineman for the Jets Monday night. And I thought the offensive line played a very solid, a surprisingly solid game. You know, raised expectations a little bit. You know, there were lots of concerns about this unit entering the season, and I think the concerns were quite justified because on paper this group did not look great, and I know they were dealing with injuries in preseason, but they did not look great in preseason. So a little bit of a pleasant surprise from what we saw on Monday night, and perhaps Jets fans can breathe a little bit easier, or perhaps it was a mirage. You know, was it a case where they were playing over their heads? Sometimes you just play a great game and you cannot sustain it. Was it a case where the Lions were not very good and that helped the Jets make look better than they were? Maybe. I mean, we heard plenty about the Lions' struggles up front entering that game. But Schell got off to a good start. Now we'll see whether he can sustain it. We've seen this before with Schell. We've seen Schell play some excellent games, but he hasn't been able to play consistently. So is he going to turn the page this season? Is year three going to be the year Brandon Schell really becomes a high-quality starter at right tackle? And the other reason I'm going with Brandon Schell is because this was not a matchup that was good to him a year ago, particularly when the Jets played Miami early season at MetLife Stadium. He had a really rough game. It may have been his worst game of the year. Really struggled quite a bit against Cameron Wake. So, you know, will Schell this year put together a strong second game and really give Jets fans confidence in his level of play? And that's a question that we'll start to answer on Sunday. You know, got off to a very good start, though. I think you have to be encouraged by what you saw week one. Now, bad week two might just take us straight back to the drawing board. We might be back in that same spot. So you want to see Schell continue to progress, continue to play well. On the defensive side of the ball, and again, we're going to go back to last year, a game against Miami. We're going to talk about the second game, and my key player is going to be Buster Skrine, because you can make a strong argument that Skrine, if he did not single-handedly lose the Jets that game last year in Miami, he was the worst player on the field. He was absolutely toasted repeatedly. It was just an ugly performance. And I think when you game plan for an opponent, especially an opponent in division, the first thing you look at is what worked the last time we played these guys. And Miami just picked on Skrine over and over and over. And unfortunately for the Jets, during Skrine's career, that's been a pretty common theme. You know, Skrine's one of those guys who's mediocre. And he's not mediocre because he always plays not great, not poorly. He's mediocre because while he does put together some absolutely outstanding games, and he's played some stellar games for the Jets, and you know, I think he played a great stretch early in his career with the Jets. Maybe like the first month or two, he was a tremendous slot corner for this team. But as high as his highs are, his lows are also that low. And we see, I think during his three-year Jets career, this is his fourth year, we've seen more lows than highs. And that's something that you'd like to see change. I thought he played pretty well week one against Miami. I looked at some of the numbers. Numbers weren't necessarily that great. You also have to remember the slot's a difficult spot to defend. You're going to give up more completions in the slot than you will playing the outside because you don't have the boundary to help you. You know, you don't have the sideline to help you where you can push a guy to the sideline. You have to, you're in the middle of the field, so a receiver could run either way. You have to account for that. It's not easy to play the slot, but screen has struggled quite a bit there. And I'm sure we're going to see the Dolphins try and take advantage of him again. I'm sure we're going to see the Dolphins try and pick on him again. And I think, if you look at this Jets team, if you look at this Jets defense, is Trumaine Johnson going to be the first guy you go after? Well, he had a rough week one. There's no question about it. But he's got a reputation for being a very good corner in this league. Is Maurice Claiborne going to be the guy you go after? I mean, he's been up and down during his career. But I think of the three who see regular playing time, the three corners, I think it's pretty clear that Screen's the weak link of the three, so to speak. I think he's the guy who's been the least consistent during his career, the guy who's struggled the most during his career. So I think from that standpoint, he'll see a lot of action this year until he proves that he can cover guys. And I think that goes double for this week because, again, the last time these teams played, it was last year in South Florida. It was an ugly Jets loss. The Jets blew a lead. They threw the game away in the fourth quarter. Josh McCown with a brutal interception, but the biggest problem on that day was Buster Screen. He really struggled a lot. And when Screen plays a bad game, he drags the entire team down with him. Now, when he plays a good game, he looks like a great slot. He looks like one of the best slot corners in the league. So that's the Buster Screen roller coaster experience, I guess. There are some guys who are mediocre just because they're never great, but they're never terrible. Screen's mediocre because he's spectacular sometimes, but he's terrible other times. So are the Dolphins going to look to exploit him the same way they did last year? And, if you listen to me on Locked On Dolphins, we did our Wednesday crossover show this week. Travis came on our show and talked Dolphins. I went on his show and talked Jets. We did it a little differently than we typically do the cross. Usually we just do one show and the identical show gets posted to both podcasts. This week we did a little different. We did separate shows for Dolphins and Jets. Travis asked me, if you did not listen, he asked me, what's to stop the Dolphins from going after Screen the way they did last time and how are the Jets going to stop it? And my answer was pretty much, well, there's nothing to stop them from going that way. And at the risk of giving you the obvious answer, Screen just has to play better. And if Screen doesn't play better, it could be a long day for the Jets. Who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. MyBookie's been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. So if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they will give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. It's up to you guys, but if you want to wait till after dinner, you can take extra money. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. We are previewing week two between the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. Now we will talk about key matchups, and we'll start on the offensive side of the ball. My key matchup is Kelvin Beachum against Robert Quinn. And I guess the theme of this show, the theme of this preview, are guys who stood out in week one, either positively or negatively. If it's positively, then we'll ask whether they can continue. If it's negatively, then we'll ask whether they can turn it around. And I think Beachum is a guy who did not play very well in week one. So the question is, can he turn it around? Left tackle is obviously a very important position. A lot of people would argue it's the second most important position on offense behind quarterback. And of course, the Jets have a pretty prized possession at the quarterback position in Sam Darnold. Beachum protects his blind side. Darnold made a spectacular play early gone in the Monday night game against the Lions on the third down play, where he evaded pressure that came up the middle and hit Quincy Enunwa to move the chains. You don't want him to have to do that frequently. And the left side of the line, I think, was the real weak point for the Jets in their week one game. And it was a solid performance overall. It was a surprisingly good performance by the offensive line, an encouraging performance week one. But the early going, especially the left side of the line, that was the one area that was a problem spot for the Jets. And James Carpenter did not have a good game either. In fact, I think Carpenter was the guy who was responsible for that play I discussed. But Beecham also struggled quite a bit in the early going. Now, Beecham missed a lot of time in training camp. He was dealing with an injury. So there are questions, you know, you might ask whether he's still kind of getting himself prepared for the season. He's still kind of in training camp mode at this point because of how much time he missed in camp. Well, the Jets don't really have the luxury for him to need extra time to get ready. The Jets need him to go out there and perform at a high level. So I think the hope is that what we saw Monday, the early struggles were kind of just out of the ordinary. They were something that he'll get over quickly. It was just a bad game. You know, week one is interesting because it could just be a case where you have a bad game, everybody panics. It could be a good game where everybody gets too excited for you. You have a great game out of context in the middle of the year. Nobody really notices that much. You have a very poor game that's out of context middle of the year. Nobody really notices that much. You have a great game week one. People get way, way too optimistic sometimes. You have a bad game week one. People get way, way too pessimistic sometimes. Not ready to hit the panic button yet on Beecham, but he needs to have a good game week two. He needs to have a good game for the Jets. And, you know, you want to avoid your quarterback having to run for his life. And that's especially pronounced at the left tackle position. So you want your left tackle to be able to hold up. So Beecham is in the spotlight. Now we move to the defensive side of the ball, and we'll talk about a guy who played very well week one, a guy who had a pair of interceptions, made a number of plays, and that's Darren Lee. And my key matchup is Darren Lee versus Kenyon Drake. And I'll tell you, I really liked Kenyon Drake back when he was at Alabama. I was a fan of his for a very long time. I was a fan of his entering the league. He's a guy who's an explosive playmaker. You know, he's a guy who can be explosive. He has a lot of skill. Can Lee neutralize him? And Lee had a phenomenal second half. And he was a different player even from the first half. The first half, he looked like the same old Darren Lee. He looked like the Darren Lee we saw the first 2 years where, you know, he was not making good plays. He was getting washed out by blocks. He was missing tackles that were there for the taking. Then he had that first interception. It just seemed like the light went on for him where he was playing instinctual football. He was, you know, making tackles. He was he had a second interception, could have had a third easily. I mean, there was one play that was a screen that he just destroyed, and it was not his assignment. He was not supposed to be anywhere near the football, and that's where I start to get excited about a guy, when you see him make a play, and you wonder, what the heck was he even doing there? That's nowhere near his assignment, and he just found a way. He found his way through traffic to make the tackle, and you wonder, is that the kind of thing, is it as simple as just one interception, one big play that gets you going, that makes you stop overthinking everything, that allows you to just trust your instincts? I don't know, but I think we'll start to find out this week. And the reason I really point at Drake is, as much as anything, I think that what the Jets want Lee to grow into is the type of guy you can use on those, you know, those playmaking running backs, Drake's not a tight end, but a playmaking running back. That's the kind of guy the Jets want Lee to be able to match up with one-on-one. The NFL is becoming a league of mismatches where teams look to utilize their running backs in the passing game. They look to utilize tight ends in the passing game. Guys who have kind of receiver skills, playmaking skills in space, where difficult matchups. And Lee is the type of guy who's as fast as anybody on the field, but he's bigger than, you know, he's bigger than a corner. You know, he's the type of guy who you might be able to use to neutralize some of those mismatches. So Lee's a guy, and he's a really important player for this team, because if he gets going, you know, if he plays the way he did week one consistently, this is a different defense. This defense goes to the next level, because you add that dimension of speed in the middle of the field. You add a guy who can shut down those pass-catching backs, those explosive players in space, you know, even tight ends. I'm not talking tight ends right now, but you add a guy on defense who can take away those mismatch players one-on-one and make plays in the middle of the field and fly to the football, make plays that are out of his area. this defense just goes, this defense's ceiling rises quite a bit. So Darren Lee, it's a make or break year for him. We've talked about it plenty. We discussed it plenty over the offseason. Off to a phenomenal start. Now, can he keep it going? Can he sustain what he did week one? And we'll find out again. This will be the next chapter in the story this Sunday when he takes on Kenyon Drake. We are previewing Jets-Dolphins week two here on the Locked On Jets podcast today. And now we'll finish our show by talking about keys to victory. I'll give you one key to victory on offense, one key to victory on defense. On the offensive side of the ball, I'm going to say test this Miami linebacking core. I'm not a big fan of this Miami linebacking core. Raekwon McMillan, second-year player, but missed his entire rookie year. So in some ways, kind of like a rookie. Up and down week one, not a spectacular week one. Kiko Alonso, who had a great rookie year way back when. He was probably the other contender back when Sheldon Richardson won the Rookie of the Year award, but guy who's really kind of struggled since then. Jerome Baker, another Miami linebacker. I'm not a big fan of this Miami linebacking core. Raekwon McMillan's a guy I'd like to test, especially because young guy, inexperienced, and did not have a great week one. So I'd like to see the Jets use their backs, and the Jets can use their backs in a number of different ways. I think that, you know, both these guys have a little bit, Bilal Powell, Isaiah Crowell, both have a little skill as a receiver. I'd like to see the Jets try to establish the run. I think that's what the offense is based on. I think dealing with a rookie quarterback, never a bad idea to try and get the run game going first, but also utilize them as a little bit as a receiver, make these linebackers play in space a little bit, see what you can do with the ball in the hands of these backs. I really think that's an area the Jets can exploit on the offensive side of the football, so I'll give you that as my key to victory on that side of the ball. And on the defensive side of the ball, my key to victory is go after the left guard position. The Dolphins have Josh Sitton, who is banged up right now. He missed practice Wednesday. He missed practice Thursday. His availability for Sunday's game is unclear. So you'll either have a situation where you potentially have a left guard who's banged up, or you'll have a situation where you'll have a backup in there. And either way, I think that's an area the Jets are going to want to attack. You're going to want to test him out. So put Leonard Williams over him. Time your blitzes. If you're going to give an exotic look, make it happen at that guard position. You know, you're either dealing with an injured player again, or you're dealing with a backup. So if you're dealing with a backup in there, maybe chemistry becomes an issue. And that's a big deal on the offensive line, because you have to know when the other guy's going to pass somebody off. You have to be able to communicate. It's tougher when you put in a substitute. So, you know, if you're running an exotic blitz, that might be the area you want to attack and see if you can get to Ryan Tannehill. So I think that's the area. Those are the areas that I'd look to attack if I were the Jets putting together this game plan. I'd look to attack the linebacker position on offense and the left guard position on defense for different reasons. I think on offense, just quality. I think, you know, I don't love these Miami linebackers. And on defense, the left guard position, because you're either dealing with an injured player or you're dealing with a backup. So that's the area you want to attack. That's the area that obviously sticks out as a potential problem area for the Miami Dolphins. That's all for our show today. Thanks so much for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe to the show. You can do it on iTunes. You can do it on Spotify. If you like it, give it a good review in iTunes. We certainly do appreciate that. It certainly helps us out. Hope you enjoy the game this weekend. We'll be back on Monday to break it down as the Jets try to start 2-0 in the 2018 season against the Miami Dolphins in their home opener at MetLife Stadium.